Philippians chapter 4 again, notice verse 13, our text passage and verse, and most likely a verse that is committed to your memory. But what a powerful verse it is where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I want you to look at that again as we go through the message tonight. I want you to see it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm preaching strength to do all things. Heavenly Father, I pray that our attention would be given to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God as you deliver through my voice the message tonight. And I, Lord, yield myself the best way I know how. I pray that you would have full control of my mind, of my body, of my spirit. Lord, may I be yielded. Lord, that you may accomplish your will. I believe the message truth is important and applicable for every age and for every Christian. May we listen, Lord, with the intent not to know but to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The book of Philippians is a book of power-packed principle. Without doubt, it is one of the most powerful books in all of the New Testament. Though it is not the longest, it is very powerful. I love the book of Philippians. The Apostle Paul is a man that we hold in great esteem. We have a great respect for the Apostle Paul, who he was and what he did. Our respect is even greater when we read the powerful principles that is given through him by the power of the Holy Spirit as he pens these words. Our respect goes up as we read what Paul gives to us and how to live. And then it goes to an even greater level when we realize that Paul gives to us not principles that he has only learned by hearing, but he teaches us principles that he has learned through experience. There's a greater difference. There's a great difference between learning from someone who just knows or learning someone who has done and is doing what they're teaching us to do. I don't want to just know about something. I like to learn from those who are living what they are teaching, and the Apostle Paul certainly does that. I think we would agree that Paul was a strong Christian. Paul writes from prison, as I mention every time I read and preach from this book of Philippians. And Paul, very strong in his will, very strong in his spirit, very strong in his emotion as he writes to us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That brings me to the message for this evening where Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Our first understanding of this verse is to say that Christ gives us strength to do all things. I think it is fair to make that statement, and I think it is a Bible truth that God does give us strength for our responsibilities. However, I think there's more to that verse than just the fact that God gives to me or there is strength available to me from Christ. I think that not only it is Christ that gives us strength for accomplishing His will, I think it is doing all things through Christ that gives me strength as well. Not just the person of Christ, but my obedience to do the things Christ tells me to do also gives me strength. In other words, I do not wait for God's strength to be obedient. It is in my obedience to Christ that God gives me His strength. Take your Bibles and go back just a couple of pages to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. The book of Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 5 and 6 talks about our relationships of life. Life is a series of relationships. We find the relationship between husband and wife in chapter 5. We find the relationship between Christ and His church. We find the relationship between parents and their children in chapter 6. We find the relationship between the servant and the master in chapter 6. And so in all of this, he talks about relationships. He then goes to talking about spiritual warfare and how the devil would attack us to keep us from being obedient to the will of God. And he tells us that we have to put on the armor of God to be victors and to be winners. But he says before he gives instruction to put on the whole armor of God, he says in verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I believe as I read and study this passage of Scripture, I don't stand and wait for God to give me strength so I can put on the armor of God. I believe the obedience to put on the armor of God is what gives me strength to have the victory. There are many folks waiting for God to do something more than what He's already done before they obey, but it is in the obedience of the things that God gives to us strength. As I get older and have more experience in the ministry, I have learned a new source of strength. There was a time when many men of God were an encouragement to me, and there are those that still are an encouragement to me. But as I get older, and this is not a joke, there are fewer men older than I than there used to be. You can laugh, I'm just kidding. But there's not as many older than me than there used to be. I remember being the young preacher. I remember one day, many years ago, I had a missionary coming to present his work, and I helped him to carry in his display for that Sunday morning as he would be preaching and presenting his ministry. And he said, "Good morning to me." I said, "Good morning to him." I said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Sure." And I did. I helped carry a box. I helped carry two or three things. And he said, "Is there a table?" And I got him a table, and we set up the display. After we got everything set up, I said, "Is there anything else I can do for you?" He said, "Yes. Do you know where the pastor is?" And I said, "Well, I am the pastor." Oh, he said, "Excuse me, I didn't expect the pastor to be young. I just wanted to tell that story to remember that it really did happen. And I was a young preacher." But there's not as many older preachers as there used to be. Many of my dear friends are in heaven already tonight. Also, there are more young men that call on me today for help or instruction or encouragement or wisdom about a different matter of ministry than there once was. Now, I've experienced something very enjoyable. Listen to the statement. There is a strength that comes from helping others in addition to the strength that came from being helped by others. I'm thankful for the strength that came from the older men of God as they gave me instruction. But as I now work to help younger men, by the way, I'm not the old man. They're still a lot older than me, a bunch of them. And I'm still learning from them. I'm still getting instruction from them. I still get encouragement from them. But I've found a new source of strength, and it's not just in what I receive from those men. It is a strength that comes from helping others behind me. There is a strength that comes from helping others. Now, let me go to this statement. There is a strength that comes from God asking me or telling me to do something. When I was a boy, my dad would say something like this, "Son, do you think you could?" For him just to have the idea that maybe I could do whatever he was thinking about gave me a source of strength. And whether I could do it or not, I wanted to do it because he asked me to. Are you with me? Then as I set out to do what he asked me to do, I gained more strength, learned more knowledge about what I was doing. But the first source of strength came from the instruction or from the question. The second source of strength came from doing what he had asked me to do. Can I tell you something? I believe anything that God commands me to do, anything that God commands us to do, he enables us to do. Now, I may not have all of the strength that I need, but the place I get the strength I need is not just from him, but from doing for him what he asked me to do. Is everybody still with me tonight? Amen. I believe everything God commands me to do, God enables me to do it. As I read through the Word of God, I find that it is obedience to God that fulfills Ephesians 6 and 10, where the Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I'm not too sure that the three Hebrew children had the strength at the end that they had at the beginning. God didn't give them strength to stand, but they gained the strength from obedience and standing. By the way, one of the my favorite parts of that story is a side note, doesn't have anything to do to this with this message. The king hated the young men and did not like them worshiping God and didn't believe in their God until they were willing to go into the fiery furnace. When the king looked in, he said, "Did we not throw three men bound into the fire? Behold, I see four, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God." I am not going to experience the presence of Christ until I come to the place of obedience to Christ. I'm saying tonight, don't sit and wait and pray for strength to do something. God giving us the command to do it is strength enough to get started. And as we do, we are strengthened. I believe I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I think there are two sources of strength in that verse. Certainly Christ, but second of all, obedience or doing the things that strengthens me. Now let me make some application. Let's start with forgiveness. I've heard many times in my life and ministry, "I'm just not able to forgive." You need to change that and say, "I am not willing to forgive," because I believe everything God commands us to do, He enables us to do. Take your Bibles and go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse number 32, probably just a page or so away. Ephesians 4 and verse number 32. Ephesians 4, 32, the Bible says, and there's more than one instruction here, "And be ye kind one to another." That's for me and for you. "Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Colossians chapter 3, Ephesians now, Philippians now, look at the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 13. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse number 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any," and again we have the standard here, "even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Now, we are to forgive as Christ forgave. What a challenge that is. Now, we don't wait for Christ to give strength so that we can forgive. His command is enough to start forgiving, and then in our forgiving of others, we gain a strength that increases our ability to continue in forgiveness. "I can do all things through Christ, the things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I believe the more we practice forgiveness, the more we are able to forgive. If we stop forgiving, we will lose strength for forgiveness. As we continue to obey in the matter of forgiveness, the stronger we become in forgiving. It's interesting to note in the trials of the life of Job, what the Bible says when you go to the end of the book. Let's look at it. Go to the book of Job and look at chapter 42. Chapter 42, and I want you to go to verse number 10. Job chapter 42, and I want you to go to verse number 10. Now, I'm preaching right now. I'm applying this matter of forgiveness, whether it be husband and wife, whether it be parents and children, whether it be, would be friends, whether it would be co-workers, whatever the case may be, you and I are to forgive others as Christ hath forgiven us. I want you to notice what the Bible says in Job chapter 42. Job 42 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job." Now that word captivity is an interesting word. It contains all that Job went through. He had no choice but to go through the trial. He had no choice but to go through the valley. He had no choice but to go through the difficulty. He had no choice but to carry the burden. But I want you to notice the Bible said when he prayed for his friends. Now what kind of friends did Job have? He had some pretty rough friends. In fact, with the friends that Job had, he didn't need any enemies. Because it was his friends that said, "I'll tell you why you're in this shape, Job." And they began to condemn Job for behavior that Job was not guilty of. God was simply putting Job through the furnace of trials. God was simply trying him and trying his love for God. But it's interesting, the Bible said that God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And then the Bible says, "And gave Job twice as much as he had before." Now, he's not going to pray for his friends unless there is a spirit of forgiveness toward his friends. And I want to say tonight, you don't say, "Well, when God enables me, I'm going to forgive." No, God enabled you when he commanded you. You may not have the ability you're going to have, but if you'll step forward in the process of forgiving, you gain strength. Do you understand that if we don't use our muscles die? I believe the same is true in our obedience to spiritual instruction and graces. If we don't use those, we become weak in those areas. And as we forgive, we gain strength by our forgiving, and we become stronger by our obedience. Let me talk to you about this matter of encouraging one another. There are many, many instructions, and I'll not go through all of the verses tonight that tell us to encourage one another. The question was asked in the Old Testament, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Oftentimes, we would like to live to ourselves, but we don't. It's my responsibility not just to encourage me. It's my responsibility to encourage my brother and encourage my brother and to wake up the cameraman over here and encourage him. And my job is to encourage others. That's my job. I don't come to church just to be encouraged, but I do get encouraged. And I'm glad for the encouragement, but when my purpose is to be an encouragement, you say, "Well, where do you get encouragement?" By being an encourager. If I come to church always looking for something for me, I'm going to come to a point that I'm going to go away with an empty bucket. Because my getting doesn't come always from looking to receive. It comes from my obedience in giving. Let me give you this illustration. There was a time when Moses got his encouragement from the Lord. Then, as Moses grew older and more experienced, God told Moses to encourage Joshua. Now it's interesting. God encouraged Joshua. God told Joshua, "Be of good courage. Be strong and of good courage." He told him that again and again. Now, you think that would be enough to encourage him? Why would he tell Moses to encourage Joshua? Did God need help? No, Moses did. Moses did. Moses needed encouragement. How did he get it? By encouraging Joshua. Is there anything more rewarding than to teach younger people a truth, a principle, a character, and then to see them carry that out in life? There's no greater source of encouragement for a father, a grandfather, an instructor, or a teacher than to see his children or those he has instructed walking in the ways of righteousness, and he is encouraged. How? Because he gave encouragement to those that were behind him. Quit looking for encouragement and start giving encouragement, and you'll find yourself to be encouraged. Let me talk to you about this matter of kindness. Ephesians 4:32 tells us we ought to be kind one to another. Now, may I say tonight, Christian kindness is not dependent on the object of kindness, but the condition of my heart. Christian kindness is not dependent on the object of kindness. It is dependent on my relationship with Christ. I ought to be kind to others because of my relationship with Christ. I'm not supposed to pick and choose and judge who I'm supposed to be kind to. He said, have brotherly kindness one to another. Now, folks, there is a professional kindness and a professional courtesy that is taught, and that's appreciated by everyone. We all like that. I bought a suit and a suit jacket for a couple of my boys this week. And when I got back to my office a couple hours later, I received a text message from the man that waited on us in the store. And he said, Pastor, I just want to say thank you for your business. It's a joy to serve you. Now, that's professional courtesy. That's professional kindness. We all like that. It's right. It's good. It's the right thing to do. I mean, this idea of servant leadership is a Bible idea. Being kind to the customer, being a help to others. But wait a minute. There is a kindness that God's people ought to have that is born out of a love of God within us. And it is not a matter of kindness because you bought something from me. It is not a matter of kindness because you gave something to me. It's a matter of kindness because of what I have in my heart, because of the love of God that's supposed to be shed abroad in my heart that I'm kind to others. I'm not talking about a professional courtesy. I'm talking about a Christian kindness. We're supposed to be kind to one another. Maybe I ought to preach against liquor tonight. Maybe we get excited about something. Maybe I ought to preach against some kind of sin out there in the world. But listen to me. We're supposed to be kind to one another. And that kindness, you say, well, who's going to be kind to me? You'll get more enjoyment by being kind than you will be in being treated kindly. You know who the miserable folks are? Those sitting there waiting for somebody to come and be kind to them. The folks that go home say, well, nobody spoke to me. I have a question. Who'd you speak to? See, that's the way Christianity works. Christianity is not looking for receiving. It gets its receiving by its giving. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Christ gives me the strength when He gives me the command. And as I obey the command, those things give me strength. And I become stronger in Christ as I'm obedient to His instruction. Let's talk about this matter of compassion. Take your Bibles and go to that little book, one chapter, the book of Jude, just before Revelation. I love this little powerful verse where the Bible says, in that one chapter and in the book of Jude, verse number 22, the Bible says this, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Having compassion. Having compassion. That means to really care. That means to care enough to help. Not just to care enough to hurt, but care enough to help. I love the story. I've told the story. Brother Anderson reminded me of this story the other day. A man lost his eye working in a sawmill. He was told that there was a man in the village where they were that could make him a wooden eye. And you couldn't tell the difference in a wooden eye that he would make that he could paint and make just like your real eye. You couldn't tell the difference. So the man had the fellow to make him a wooden eye. You couldn't tell the difference by looking at him. Folks often would wonder, which is the real eye and which is not? His granddaughter sat on his knee, and he said, can you tell the difference in Grandpa's real eye and wooden eye? She said, oh, yes, I can. She said, it's this eye, Papa, that's not real. He said, how can you tell? She said, Papa, there's no love in that eye. The real eye knows how to cry. The real I knows how to care. The real I knows how to make a difference. God, give us a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion for those children that we reach through the bus ministry. Those that have not yet been reached. A heart of compassion for those that need Christ through the gospel. A heart of compassion for those that are in our Sunday school classes. A heart of compassion for our teenagers in our youth department. I mean a compassion that says, I want to make a difference. Compassion. You say, I just don't have any compassion. You say, I just need God to give me some compassion. No, you need to share the compassion you have so you can strengthen it for more compassion. The prophet said, mine eye affecteth my heart. He said, when I went down to the river by the water and I saw them, when I saw them, he said, my eye affecteth mine heart. You see, we don't sit here and just wait for God to pour us out a bucket of compassion. He tells me to have compassion. Anything He commands me to do, I can do. And as I do it, I strengthen it. I make more of it. I increase it. And Paul declared, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's a matter of patience. I can have patience because He tells me to have patience. Joseph exercised himself in waiting for God to fulfill the dream he had as a young man. And he never gave up on that dream. You see, he exercised his patience that gave him more patience for the greater trial. That gave him more patience for the greater trial. That gave him more patience for the greater trial until God gave the reward and he fulfilled what he said he would do. Abraham's patience in God. God fulfilled his promise. God does fulfill his promise. Don't get angry at God. Have faith and have patience in God working in your life. Then last of all, this matter of giving thanks. I've made this statement several times lately. It's hard to complain when your mouth is full of praise. We ought to be people that give thanks. Now, because the Bible says I'm supposed to give thanks, I can give thanks. Because the Bible says to be thankful, I can be thankful. And as I am thankful, I have a greater heart of thankfulness. God didn't give all that to me. God gave me strength to get started. And as I obey Him in being thankful, I realize more and more how thankful I ought to be. I realize where I could be. Do you know where you could be tonight? Do you understand where we could be tonight? Do you understand tonight that there are folks in waiting rooms in the hospital waiting for a loved one to leave this world? Do you understand there are folks that have visited this afternoon a jail or a prison in cities and towns across our nation? Their hearts are broken. Do you understand tonight there are folks, they have wept at a funeral home this week? You understand where we are tonight and how wonderful it is to enjoy the goodness and the blessings of God? I've learned the more thankful I am, the more thankful I become. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The more exercises of obedience to Christ I have, the more strength I have for life and living. I don't want to be the Christian that goes through life saying, I just can't do that. I'm just not strong enough to do that. Well, I'm just not able to do. I don't want to live life that way. I'm going to live life trying to do everything God said I could do. I gain strength from His command because if He says I can do it, I can do it. And as I obey His command, I get stronger in doing what He's commanded me to do. Let's get busy and be obedient in Christ this week. Stand with me if you will. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You don't stand outside a gym and say, as soon as I get the strength, I'm going to go in there and lift those weights. You go in there and you take the dumbbell, and I'm not talking about your husband, and you start picking it up. You get to where you can pick it up good, then you put some weight on it. Then you add some more. And you add some more. You know where strength comes from? Resistance. You know where greater strength comes from? Greater resistance. You say it's hard. That's what makes me strong. Nobody said it was easy to forgive. He just said we could forgive. May God help us.